I don't know why, but my heart starts pounding every time I get up here. You get nervous, and my wife asked me if that ever goes away. I've been told it doesn't, and I'm kind of glad about that because it is a privilege and an honor to be able to present God's word, and I don't ever want to take that for granted. So if I ever start getting that way, please ask the Lord to humble me or walk up to me and humble me. I'm pretty easy to humble. but no, it is a blessing to be here tonight. So before we get started, let's look to the Lord. Another word of prayer. Brother Trevor, please do some word of prayer. Tonight, briefly, we're going to look, we're going to scratch the surface of the grace and the mercy of God. The grace and the mercy of God, it's talked a lot about throughout the Bible. And when you really break it down, you look at it, without the grace and mercy of God, we wouldn't be here. We would have no reason for living. We would have no possibility of anything besides misery and death. And you think about it, without God's grace and mercy, we wouldn't have a salvation, let alone a church, let alone a family, let alone anything without God. We would be, says in Corinthians, all men most miserable. But when we think about the grace and mercy of God, I have to think about this verse. Psalm 144, verse 3, Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Turn to Psalm 8. Psalm 8, verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? When I think of these verses, because I don't know if, to me, these verses show the grace and mercy of God, because what is man that God should even care that we are even existing? What are we as human beings that God should even think about us? And then you go and think everything that God has done for us. How can you think of anything besides the grace and mercy of God? When you look at yourself, turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You think about it, you in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. So why would God want you in your flesh? I can't understand that. I can't wrap my head around it. I talked about humbling myself. This verse humbles me every time I read it, because I think everything that's good about me, if there is anything, it's from God. I can't have anything good. I can't be pleasing to God without God. So what do I have to be proud of? What do I have to think of highly of myself when everything in life is from God? And it's something that, you know, we read these verses and yep, we say grace, God's mercy is amazing. Amazing grace, his mercy is outstanding. But how many of us think of it and then just toss aside, say, well, we expect it, you know, it's God. So that's what he does. Do you realize that God didn't have to do anything for you? There is no reason he should have done anything for us. And it should humble us to think about that. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. If you are saved today, if you are a church member, if you have anything to be pleasing to God, it is by God that you do have that. It's his grace that bought that price. It's his unmerited favor. That's what grace means, unmerited favor. It's a gift. You've done nothing to deserve the grace of God, yet he's given it to you. So my first question for you is, the grace that God has given you, what have you done with it? Have you wasted it? Have you lived your life? He says, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Have you taken the grace of God and done something with it? Or said, you know what, the grace of God, that's great. I'm just sit down, do nothing. I'm going to be, again, wasting to God. You think about it, what's the point of a gift if it's never going to be used? What's the point of doing something? What was the point of God's sacrifice if you don't do anything with it? What's the point of being a church member if you're not going to do the duties of a church member? You think about that. Well, you know, I just have to show up to church. That's my duty, is to show up to church. If you are just showing up to church, you are failing as a church member. Turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor in handling the word of God deceitfully, but in manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in your hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I think verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is him to them that are lost. You think about it. You might think, well, me not serving God, me not doing my part as a church member, that's only going to affect me. No, it says, if you hide the gospel, it's to them that are lost. Think about every lost person that you love, that you think about, that you care about. You not doing your duty, you wasting the grace of God, you're affecting them. They might die and go to hell because you're not willing to do anything with the grace that God's given you. That hurts a little bit. But, you know, Amazing Grace, we love that song. Yeah, well, guess what? Grace means you got to do something. I think of Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God was going to save Noah. You know what Noah still had to do? He still had to build the ark. God wasn't just going to make Noah magically flow and give him an ark. He said, you have grace. You have a chance. Do something with it. You've been given a chance. What are you doing with it? No, we're just going to sit back and say, it's okay. It's not my job. It's someone else's job. It's this person's job. If everybody said it's somebody else's job, the job's never going to get done. God said, it's your job, take the responsibility and do it. That's just grace. We're going to talk about mercy too, because when we think about the mercy of God, we think, well, God gives me mercy so that I don't have to, you know, suffer the consequences. I can be forgiven just to go around and do the sin again. That way I'm okay. We think that sounds so stupid to do it that way. But how many of us live our life like that? We're like the person who's in prison gets out of prison just to go commit another crime and go back into prison. Why do we do that? Well, I don't know. I can't tell you why I do that. I can't tell you why I do that. It's because of my flesh, and I don't want to do anything in the spirit. I only want to live in my flesh. It's God's mercy that we should be thankful for. Turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Imagine what your life would be like without God's mercy. Imagine if for a second God said, I'm taking away all my mercy. What state would we be in? How many of us would just drop dead right here where we're at without God's mercies? How many of us would be miserable out in the world, no good thing at all? Well, here's a question. How many of us would be dying and going to hell without God's mercies? Every single one of us. But we think, God's given me mercy, so that gives me freedom to do whatever I want. No, it's given you mercy to do his will. That's what he wants. I think about the mercy seat. The mercy seat that was in there. You know what the priest could not do? Whatever they wanted, because God had mercy. He was very strict with his rules. You can only go before the mercy seat with blood. With his grace to pay the price for you. You can only do the things that God said. If they went out that way, guess what they did? They died. Turn to Numbers 14. Numbers 14, verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering, of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but in no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. The Lord is great in mercy. You know what he doesn't do, though? He doesn't just wipe it away and say, you're not guilty, you don't have to pay a price anything. Guess what? God is full of mercy. He will still punish your sin. He still has to discipline you. You parents, your child does something wrong. You say, I forgive you. It's okay. Guess what you still have to do? You still have to discipline them. You think God's any different? Do we really think that I can do whatever I want and God's just going to be okay with it because God's full of mercy? You are an idiot. And I apologize if that offends you. You are an idiot if you think that's how God is. You look at, there's a lot of examples. Which one do I want to go to? Turn to Numbers 3. I I like to, you know, look back at Israel and sometimes chuckle and think, how could they not see it? How could they keep doing the same thing over and over again? And then I look at it and say, how could I keep doing the same thing over and over again? But we look at Numbers chapter 3, verse 4. And Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. And they had no children, and Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron their father. Nadab and Abihu, guess how many times they screwed up in the Lord's house? Once. And they died. They offered strange fire once, and God killed them. They dropped dead. And not only that, Aaron was told, pick them up, carry them out. Don't even mourn for them because of what they did. How many of us, if it wasn't for God's mercies that we have today and his grace that we have today, would drop dead this very second because we think God's okay with me doing what I want? God still has the same rules today as he did back then. He's just more merciful today. He doesn't kill us right away. Imagine how different your life would be if God started killing you for the times that you screwed up. Okay, we think about that and see that, I see that, but then we don't ever make a change. Why don't we ever make that change? Because we take advantage of God's grace and mercy, and we think, in our pride, everything's going to be okay. You go look at the time, the Sabbath. There was a man, picked up sticks, died on the Sabbath day. That, simple as picking up sticks, he died on the Sabbath day. How many of us, we knew we were going to be at church tonight. We knew this is where God's meet with us. We knew that this is where we have to go to be in services, to meet with God. And before you go to services, you are supposed to cleanse and be ready and have your hearts ready to serve and worship God. How many of us knew that and did nothing but show up to church? Did no preparing, thinking, well, I will get it taken care of at the altar after services. If you're waiting till after services to get your sins taken care of, you are wasting a church service. But we don't like to think that. We don't think that's true because we take advantage of God's grace and God's mercy. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 4, I apologize. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, verse 15. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but is at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Do we understand how amazing these verses are? What a privilege we have that what Jesus did to die on the cross, to pay the price for us, to have freedom to go before God, to have freedom to be saved, to have freedom to serve him freely, and to go before God directly. And yet we waste it all the time. I waste it all the time, the privilege that God's given us. Why? I want to say, well, it's because of this, because of that. It's because of me. It's because of my pride. It's my flesh that I don't want to get rid of, that I don't want to say, go away, I'm going to serve God today. We have to daily, if my people were, no, that's not the right one. Take up the cross daily. It's blanking on me, but it says take up your cross daily and follow me. That means you have to make that choice to do it. You're choosing to waste God's grace and mercy. And we think about, I think about this time of year is the perfect time to think about this. It's Christmas. What do we celebrate? Celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Do you realize how much grace and mercy it was that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a baby? Turn to Luke chapter 2. Again, this is, the Christmas story, I feel like I'm just, this message I'm just telling myself here, because I think about this and that, yeah, that's great for the songs, it's great for the season, I like the lights, but I don't ever sit down and think about the sacrifice that it was for Jesus to come down to this earth. You think, he had no reason to come down to this earth. He gained nothing by taking on the form of flesh. Amen. He lost. He gained nothing by dying on the cross. He lost. He died and broke fellowship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit for the first and only time in history. You tell me where God gained and mankind lost in that. No, mankind gained and God lost in that. But we think, well, you know, it's a Christmas story. It's great to hear. You know, we just, Brother Dale says, tongue in cheek, I think, is going smacking our gum, thinking that's no big deal. We think about this. Luke chapter 2, verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy words. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to light the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. You see a man named here, Simeon. He was promised, it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death till he saw his Lord. you think he saw the baby Jesus. It said he saw the salvation. My eyes have seen thy salvation. Do you think he looked at him and said, oh, well, oh, yeah, you know, now I can die? No, he lived his life for that one moment. And his life was complete when he saw Jesus in his hands. How many of us live our life for that next moment with God? Living our life thinking, I can't wait to get to this moment where I can serve God, and then my life will be complete. Or is it, well, I got to get through this thing to go to the next one. I have to get through Jesus. I have to get through that church thing to go to my next day of work, my next hobby, my next thing. Church is just an inconvenience. Simeon lived his life begging, waiting for that day that Lord came. And you think about baby Jesus. Turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We think Jesus actually lived on this earth. He walked on this earth, and it was God with us, took on the form of flesh. And he didn't come just to try it out and see what was going on, and then after some time he decided, hey, I should probably die on the cross for your sins. He came with a purpose, and that was to start his church and to die on the cross for your sins. You don't think that was known from the time he was born? Well, Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. We think about that. The gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, these things pictured something. These weren't just random things that these wise men and kings decided, hey, this would be a good gift. No, the gold represented Jesus Christ as king. That frankincense represented him as God, and that myrrh represented him as a sacrifice. Even as a baby, the purpose for Jesus being here was known to those. They knew that he was God. You know, we sing the song, God and King and Sacrifice. How many of us look at Jesus as a God, a King, and a sacrifice? Look at this baby, think about this time of year, and understand how amazing it is that he died on the cross for our sins. How amazing it is that we have the mercy and grace of God to be here today. You think about it, we did the Lord's Supper just a couple Sundays ago. How many of us, well, let's be honest with ourselves, how many of us have taken that Lord's Supper and not thought a single thing about what that sacrifice pictured? When he says, take, eat, this is my body, that's because his body was torn apart. He says, drink, ye all of it, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That's because his blood was actually shed. We don't have the grace and mercy of God without the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. You think about it, back to the tabernacle, the high priest wasn't allowed to go before the mercy seat without blood. Right. Why do you think we have the ability to go before the mercy seat of God right now? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But we think, that's great. We see that picture. We love it. We take the Lord's Supper. You know, we get in our emotions. But then the next second we walk out the door, think, well, oh, well, we have 3 months till the next one. We don't understand the sacrifice, the privilege it is, the grace and mercy that God has shed abroad to us. We think, well, it's just what God does. He does it because his grace and mercy. He has grace and mercy because of his grace and mercy. It's not just what he does. You are not that special. But for some reason to God, we are special. I can't wrap my head around it. I just have to be sit there and thankful for it. You think about the mercy of God and the grace of it. When was the last time you said thank you to God? When was the last time? Well, you think, well, he hasn't been that merciful to me. He hasn't been that gracious to me. Turn to Psalm 77. Psalm 77, we're going to start in verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercies clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail or forevermore. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercy? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also all the works and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Whoso great a God is our God. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people and the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The words saw thee. The water saw thee, O God. The water saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of the thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. When was the last time God forgot to be gracious to you? When was the last time God forgot to give mercy to you? You can't think of a time that you sought God with your whole heart and God forgot about you. You can't think of a time when God saw you, said, he's coming to me in the way that I say, that God said, and said, well, you know what? I don't want to be merciful to him that day. I don't want to be gracious. The only reason why God's not gracious and merciful to us is because we choose to go the opposite way of God and then still think God's going to have mercy on me when I do nothing that God tells me to do. It doesn't work that way. God said, you want mercy, you want grace, do what I told you to do. That way, O God, is in a sanctuary. Whoso great a God is our God. How can we look at God and blame him for anything when it's all our fault? How can we sit there and think God's not gracious, God's not mercies, God's done with me? No, you were done with God before he was ever done with you. But we still blame God. You can't blame God. It is of God's mercies that you are not consumed. It's of the Lord's grace that you even have a breath in your lungs right now. Amen. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. But when you repent, when you get your heart right, you go to God his way. Guess what? He loves you. He's more than willing to take you back. Turn to Luke 14. Luke 15. Luke 15, and we'll start in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth me. And he divided them unto his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And they would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? I perish unto hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You think about that. You walk away from God. You turn your back on God. You go waste your life in the world. And God hits you and you repent and you turn back. You think God's just going to say, nope, I'm done with you. Get out of here. You see the son, he wasted his life. He still went back to that father. He repented. He was humbled. He repented, turned back and said, I am not worthy of anything. And that father took him and said, you are just as much as my son as anybody else. How can we say that God hasn't been gracious in mercy when he opens the same thing to you? When he gives you the same opportunity? Do you realize we as human beings, again, we looked in the flesh, dwelt no good thing, yet we can be an heir with Jesus Christ, a son of God. We don't understand what that title means, to be a son of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Think about that, a joint heir. That means you are equally an heir with Jesus Christ. Equally an heir with Jesus Christ. Why does God want us? I don't know. Why would God offer that to us? I don't know. But I do know it's because of his grace and mercy. And I do know that I waste that far too often in my life. So I throw this out to you. I challenge you. Think about it. When was the last time that you actually humbled yourself? You went to God and he ever forgot to be gracious and merciful to you? When was the last time you repented? You got your heart right and God said, no, it's not good enough. Because I see in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's not a liar. We hear it over and over and over and over again in preacher school. God cannot lie. So do you think when God says he'll do something, he's going to turn around and do the opposite of what he said? No. He said he's going to do it. And that's what it's going to be. But that takes you repenting and being humble. It takes you being the one to do something for God, for him to be gracious and merciful. You know what salvation took? It took you accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. God didn't predestinate. God didn't pick and choose and say, you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved. No. He opened it to all. You still have to accept it. We think about that grace and mercy, the unmerited favor, the, as Sister Rhonda taught it to me growing up, not getting what you do deserve. We have nothing from God that we deserve. We deserve death and hell. We deserve for God to kick us out and to never think of us again. But what is man that thou art mindful of him? Think about that grace and that mercy. Think about what all Jesus did for us. We looked very few examples of everything that Jesus has done for us. Look in your life and think of an example of what Jesus has done for you. Here's one. You're here in a New Testament church right now. That is the grace and mercy of God that you are here right now. Of all places, Springfield, Oregon is where God decided, I want to meet with the people of Springfield, Oregon. Who wants to meet with the people of Springfield, Oregon? And yet God said, I want a church to be there, and I want each and every one of you here with me tonight. Yeah. What a privilege. What amazing grace and mercy that God has that we can be here tonight. But how many of us waste it on a daily basis? Think, well, it's not that big of a deal. Here's one. When was the last time, again, I think, when was the last time you just simply said thank you to God for everything he's done for you? Don't even count all your blessings, because you can't count them all, but just for the simplest thing of your salvation, for giving you a chance to be saved, said thank you to God. Because everything that God did was for you, for your gain. There's a verse that says, it's all gain. I butchered that horribly, I apologize. But God didn't do anything, God's not doing anything for you to make your life worse. He only does things to make your life better. So why is your life worse? It's your fault. But God says, come, let me help you. For my yoke is easy, my burden's light. He says, come on, I can help you. I will carry you to that finish line. You can live your life thinking for that next thing you can do for God, for that next example. We can live our life like Simeon, looking our whole life dedicated around, what's the next thing I can do for God? Quit living your life in misery thinking, how can I get far away from God? Because that life doesn't get better the farther you get away from God. Go look at Israel. Again, perfect example. When did Israel's life get better the farther they got away from God? Israel is probably the farthest they've ever been away from God right now. You think they're happy in life? You think they're living, having a grand old time? No, they're miserable. When do you think they're going to be happy again? When they go right back to God. In your life, think about the times you've walked away from God. You've been far away from God. How miserable have you been? How much better does your life get when you get closer to God? It's because of his grace and mercy. You think about it, I can't repeat it enough. I can't understand it enough, but I know it's there. And I know his mercy is the only reason I have a breath in my lungs. His grace is the reason I have salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. You've done nothing, but God is still mindful of you. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I don't know. But I also know that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. His grace is new every morning. And it's by the grace of God, we are what we are. Amen. It's by his mercy that we have life. So why don't we do something with it? That grace and mercy, we love it. We waste it all the time. Let's stop wasting it. Let's do something with it right here and now. You know, you don't have to wait for the new year to have a New Year's resolution. Make a change right now, because there's no time like the present. I think of the thief on the cross. He had one opportunity to serve God. Imagine if he said, not this time, next time. He didn't have next time. He had right then. And even in that, God had mercy on him in that last second of his life to be saved and not have to spend eternity in hell. You have a second right now. Why waste the rest of your life? If your life was to end in an hour, why take the next hour and waste it? Why not take the time that God's given us right now and use that grace and mercy to do something for God for once. Because he's done so much for us. Let's do something for God and actually serve him the way we're supposed to. Let's all stand. Be honest, the song leader, come. What number? Brother Ronnie, please lead us in a word of prayer. You again for the opportunity. Let's remember Brother Roger in prayer that